The following is a talk given by Father Michael Pratt on how to make a good confession. Regardless of how long it's been since you've had your last confession, take this time during Lent to examine your conscience and go before a merciful Lord. If you enjoy this talk and would like to support our show, please just take a few seconds to rate and review our podcast. Also, if you feel called to do so, you can financially support us at patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holy season of Lent. We are sorry for letting any sins into our soul. We wish to be made whole. We wish to love you. We wish to love our neighbor. We wish to be virtuous. We wish to be the disciples you are calling us to be. We trust you and we love you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I actually lied to you last night. I said there was going to be one talk tonight. There's actually going to be two. Talk one, and then talk two. The first talk is called, This is How You Make a Mediocre Confession. And it begins now. Walk in, having examined your conscience hardly at all. Say your sins as vaguely as you possibly can. Receive your three Hail Marys, leave, and come back 6 months later to do the exact same thing. And this concludes talk number one. Talk number two. This is how you make a great confession. Some preliminary points. One, confession is a skill. Make the mental jump right now. To make a good confession is a skill. Confession itself is a sacrament, and there's grace, definitely. But to do it well, put it in the same category as learning how to ride a bike, learning how to play an instrument, learning how to speak another language. It's something that is acquired over time that must be practiced. So tonight, after you hear one outstanding talk, you're not actually going to be any better at making a good confession. In fact, because it's a skill that has acquired over time, you can get better and better and better and better at it, and you can also get worse and worse and worse at it. In fact, just like your high school Spanish, if you don't use it, you will lose it, right? It's in that category, okay? Make the mental jump that you are going to do your part. God will do his part. Rest assured of that. You need to do your part to make a great confession. There are how many sacraments? Pop quiz. Seven. Oh my gosh, okay, guys. Say them backwards. No, just kidding. The church has so beautifully put them into three categories. There are the sacraments of initiation. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist. There are the sacraments of service, have to do with how you live out your vocation. Marriage and holy orders. Ting. Then there's the sacraments of healing, the anointing of the sick, and confession. In the church's eyes, confession is primarily about healing. Keep that in mind. A sin has gotten in, it has corrupted, it has made you less, and now it's time to be made whole again. That's what this whole process is about. Healing. I know it's difficult. I know you've been around, maybe you haven't been in a long time. That's okay. I know it's uncomfortable. That's okay. It's worth pushing through because the end result is a healed heart. And that's worth walking through fire for. Tonight, we're just going to walk through what confession looks like, top to bottom. So if you're not Catholic, and you've always kind of wondered, what goes on in there? This is what goes on in there. If you haven't been in a long time and need a refresher, here you go. If you go every day, Enjoy your popcorn, okay? This may be old news to you. You better not have popcorn in here. All right, here we go. Top to bottom. Number one, when you walk into the confessional, before you even sit down, you're going to have a choice to make before any words are spoken. You can go behind the screen, anonymous, or you can go face to face with the priest. It's entirely up to you. It actually makes very little difference to the priest. It's a point of preference. Some people like that face-to-face encounter. They like the eye contact. They like connecting. They like to see the priest's face. When they say their sin, they like to know he doesn't go. It's comforting, you know? Other people like to go behind the screen. It's just they find it less distracting. Personally, that's where I am. I like to go. Even if I know the priest and he knows me and he knows I'm coming in and we even arranged it ahead of time, I still like to go behind the screen. I can just close my eyes and I can focus on making a thorough confession. And I don't notice the meatball stain that dribbled down Father's shirt a couple hours ago. I can just close my eyes and go. You have a choice to make. You can go face to face or you can go behind the screen. If you go behind the screen, you can hide not only your face, but you can hide your voice. I have heard more Australian accents who would have thought? So many Aussies right here in Oklahoma, you know? Like, I listen, I'm like, you're not from Sydney, you're from Sepulpa, you know? I can tell. You have that option. The church gives you the leeway. It's totally and entirely up to you. It makes very little difference to the priest. When you come in and sit down, the first thing you're going to do is tell the priest how long since your last confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 1 week since my last confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 10 years since my last confession. Here's why that matters. That point right there actually tells the priest a lot. The priest, in this context, is a spiritual physician. That's going to be a theme we have the rest of tonight. As this talk goes on for 3 more hours, that theme's going to come up again and again and again. That was a joke, by the way, okay? My bedtime is way before then, so. The priest is a spiritual physician. You're going to tell him right off the bat how long it's been. And that's actually enlightening to him. That tells me, is this person a regular goer? Are the sins that he says, are they kind of a regular part of him? Or is this a once in a 25-year thing? That affects what he's going to say later on. So don't omit it. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. It has been since my last confession. You're then going to state the sin clearly. State the sin clearly. There are so many useless phrases in the confessional. You heard me correctly. There is so much vagueness that can mean anything. It's not helpful, and as St. Francis de Sales calls it, who's a doctor of the church, by the way, useless. Father, I have not loved God as much as I ought. How many sins fall into that category? How about every sin there ever was, right? Every sin involves you not loving God as much as you should. That's not a helpful line. Here's what you say. Father, I missed Mass on Sunday. See how specific that is? At some point, the dispensation is going to be lifted, right? And it will be a sin to miss just because. You say it specifically in a straightforward way. I missed Mass on Sunday. Here's what you're going to avoid. I didn't love my neighbor as much as I should. What? Okay, is that murder? Or you promised 2 holy hours for him and you only did 1? That's the spectrum there, right? You didn't love your neighbor as much as you should. That could be tons of things. Not helpful. A useless phrase. In the confessional. That's for those who want to make a mediocre confession. That's not you. We're talking about now how to make a great confession. You're going to say it in a straightforward manner. I hurt my friend's reputation through gossip. All right. Now that's a sin. That's a good line in the confessional. You're going to state it clearly and to the point. And if there's 25 sins, you're going to say every one of them in a very clear manner. Does that make sense? Don't omit it. Don't be a useless person like who's throwing out useless lines left and right. That's not going to be you. Then, when you have said the sin, you're going to say the reason why. I did this because. And here's why. If you just stop at, I missed Mass on Sunday, Father is going to launch into a 5-minute lecture on the importance of Mass. The problem is, different sins can have the same act. Let me repeat that. Different sins can actually manifest with the same act. Let's take a step back and take an example. A stomach ache. Someone's stomach hurts. There could be multiple causes for that. I got in a fight and I got punched in the stomach. Now my stomach hurts. I ate something that was disagreeable to my stomach. I'm actually sick and have stomach cancer. Okay, the same result is a stomach ache, but there are three very different causes. It's the same thing with sin. When you state the reason why, you are getting to the heart of things. You're getting to the reason why. For example, I missed Mass on Sunday because 3 weeks ago we had an ice storm of a century and I'm 75 years old. I missed Mass on Sunday because I was hungover from the night before. I missed Mass on Sunday because I chose soccer over the Eucharist. Those are three very different reasons why. And one of them isn't even a sin. The soccer and the Eucharist one, that was a sin, by the way. Hungover from the night before, sin, by the way. The ice storm, not even a sin. That's why you're going to say, missed Mass on Sunday is clearly said, but when you say the reason why, you're getting to the heart of things. You're telling Father why it's there. And that affects how the spiritual physician is going to respond to you. State the sin clearly, and then state the reason why. Then, state how many times. Ooh, Father, please. Yes. We're talking about a great confession here. And here's why that's important. It tells the priest how attached that lizard is. If it's been a year since your last confession and you've done this one time, one good shove and that thing's off. If it's been a year since your last confession and you've done this twice daily, that's another matter. That thing is on there and is attached, and you're probably very attached to it. That's going to affect how he responds. That's going to affect how you should see that sin. That should affect how you pray against that sin. By stating the number of times, that's not just some weird curiosity. That's helpful for yourself and for the priest. One point, real quick, when we're talking about confessing and saying these things, what's not actually helpful is the grimy details. Your job is to communicate what happened and the reason why and the number of times. Basta così, that's it. No more after that. For example, Father, I'm an unmarried man, and I had sexual relations with a woman. That's enough. Any detail beyond that is unnecessary and inappropriate. Your job is to communicate your sin. Your job is also not to communicate your husband's sin. That's another regular, okay? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 months from my last confession, and here's 20 minutes on all the sins of the people around me. That's a mediocre confession. That's not you, right? You're getting to the heart of the matter. State it clearly. Give the reason why you did it, which is so helpful for us. And remember, you're actually not enlightening God by this. When you say things clearly, when you say the reasons why, when you say the number of times, those are things that God knows already. He's omniscient. And yet he wants you to come forward with it. Just like when you knew your child messed up and it was actually good for them to fess up to it. And as a parent, you allowed it to happen. That's good for us. He allows that. He wants that. But also one very good aspect of you saying these things clearly in a straightforward manner is you're helping the priest. You're helping him understand your situation. His life is given over to this. When you're giving him the information he needs, he can speak directly into that for your sake, which is what you want. Give him the number of times. That tells him actually a lot. Was this a simple moment of weakness? Yeah, I just fell. I didn't really do it before. I haven't done it since. It was just I don't know. Okay, that's one thing. If this is a regular part of your life, that is another. State it clearly, the reason why, and the number of times. If you have done that for your sins, your priest is going to go, whoa, what happened to you? That was beautiful. He may even thank you because you just made a good confession. Next comes, that was your speaking part. Next comes the priest's speaking part. He's going to say something back to you. But before we get there, a few words about the priest himself. There's a common fear among people. Father, I like my pastor. In fact, he comes over for dinner a lot. He knows me, and he still thinks I'm a decent person. I don't want to ruin that. We go out to dinner, we have fun. I don't want him to know where I actually am. Okay, the church makes room for that. You are allowed to confess, obviously, to any priest that you like. You may be buddy-buddy with the priest, but you are not buddy-buddy with every priest. Some people can take that and make an excuse to not confess at all. That's not going to be you. You find a priest and you go. And a word about shocking the priest. Oh my gosh. I can't believe we even have to talk about this. If I say this and he knows, he's going to fall out of his chair. If you're behind the screen, he's probably reading the newspaper, actually. Just kidding. The rule of thumb is the priest is surprised in the confessional for about the first month after ordination. After about 30 days of hearing confessions, the devil's just not that creative, guys. The devil has a few tricks up his sleeve that he uses over and over and over again. By contrast, God is infinitely creative. How many ways can you be good? Oh my gosh. How many different ways can you be generous? It's unbelievable. The devil is not that creative. You are not going to shock the priest. You're special. But you're not that special, okay? This is why he's here. A priest has given up a wife and children to do this his entire life. He is what the church calls a beautiful Latin phrase, in persona Christi. It means in that moment, he is in the person of Christ. He has given up everything in his life, career, money, his own will through obedience, family life. He's given up all that. You know why? For one reason, to bring God to the people and the people to God. That's why he exists. That's why God put him here. He thought about it and prayed about it for 6 to 8 years in the seminary. He prepared for it for years. And this is why he's here. Now he's doing it. You are not going to shock the priest. If you say it's been 30 years and there's a camera on his face, you're probably going to see a smile. You may see a tear. He may slap you, but it won't be hard, you know. Caught him on a bad day, his stomach hurts or something, you know. No, of course not. The reconciliation of the sinner with God is why he exists. Do not be afraid to go to your priest. Do not be afraid to go to any priest. This is why they've been consecrated. And to fulfill their mission is a delight to their heart. It makes me happy. A while back, I heard a confession. It had been 30 years. 30 years. It was like the highlight of my week. And I was having a really good week, okay? That's why we are here. You're not going to shock the priest. Was he going to tell anybody? Oh my gosh, do we have to talk about this too? No. It's protected under the seal of confession. He will not and cannot tell anybody ever what he hears in the confessional. He would rather undergo torture and death than reveal a single sin that you committed to somebody. And priests have. They've gone to jail for many, many years willingly. All they had to do was cough it up what they heard, and he would be scot-free. Nope, I'd rather go to jail. He would do that for you because he loves you. That's why. This gives you the absolute freedom to come in and say anything you need to say. It is very humbling. It's very humbling as a priest that someone comes in, could be a total stranger. They don't know you from Adam. And because you're a priest, they reveal something to you in 5 minutes that their spouse doesn't know. That's so humbling. And you get to see right here, this person I don't even know, you get to see weight lifted off their shoulders as you're helping them be reconciled with God and make the right moves for their family. You're not going to shock him. You're not going to sadden him. Not unless he was ordained 2 weeks ago. Then just give him a little time, right? Come back in a couple weeks. You should not be afraid to confess to priests. That is why we are here, and it is a tremendous honor of our life to be in that position. Back to our radio broadcast. You have now spoken your part. He's now going to speak to you. When he speaks, guys, listen. Listen to what he says. You're in a sacrament. You have given God time and space. He's going to take advantage of that. The priest is going to make some observation. He's going to offer you some encouragement. He's going to offer some insight. And it may not even be complex. It may be something you've heard 100 times before. But I bet you, if you capture it and dwell on it, I bet you it's what you needed to hear right then and there. There's a method to my madness. This business of you coming with a pen and paper, come looking for something that God wants to speak to you. There's a method to that, okay? That's intentional. That's how we should go into the confessional. You should go in, confess clearly, and then be on the hunt. Look for God to speak to you. And when he does, get it. Do not waste the opportunity. Even if you've heard it multiple times, okay? We're nourished by the same food over and over again. Raise your hand if you've ever had a cheeseburger. Yeah. Raise your hand if you've ever had a cheeseburger more than once. Okay? Raise your hand if you had more than one cheeseburger this week. Guilty. Okay, the same food can nourish us again and again and again at different times. All right? Have you had chocolate chip cookies multiple times in your life? Yes. If you're like me, it's approaching the millions. All right? The same nourishment can come to you. The same bit can come to you and feed you in a different way. It's probably, his words are probably not going to be complex. It's probably going to be pretty simple and straightforward. Good. That way you don't have to figure it out. Now all you got to do is chew on it and apply it. Not long ago, I went to confession, and there was a priest in another diocese, and I went all the way through it, and I said, and Father, like that one right there that I confessed, like, I'm really worried about that one. Like, I think that if it can get out of hand if we don't watch it. And he had a few like follow-up questions. And then he goes, actually, no, I don't think so. I don't think that one's a big deal. I think it needs to go, but it's this one that if you're not careful, it's going to really bite. I think you should quadruple your efforts on that one. I sat back in my chair, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're exactly right. And in hindsight now, I know he was exactly right. This one was not that big a deal. This one kind of was and really needed to go. I thought about that for 2 weeks and couldn't figure it out. He had it for 20 seconds, and God just spoke right into it. Another time, I confessed and was pretty discouraged, and the priest said, look, I think you're focusing too much on your sin. Don't forget how far you've come. You're still progressing. You've come a long way. Don't focus overly on this one. Recognize how God has been good to you. And it was like exactly, like I'm a priest. I say that to people all the time, right? That's not complex. But in that moment, it was food for the soul that I needed to hear. Not complex, simple and to the point, and boy, did it help. When the priest speaks to you, listen. Listen closely. And he's not going to use an Australian accent either. He's just going to say it how it is. After he speaks, he's going to give you a penance. A penance is like your homework assignment. Historically, penances have been very difficult. They've been public, and I mean tough. Oh, you committed adultery? Okay. Make a walking pilgrimage to the tomb of St. James. Father, that's a month's walk. I think you'll think twice next time, okay? Like, it's, like, they were a big deal. Oh, you missed Mass on Sunday? Okay. Eat only bread and water for 6 months. See you next Sunday, all right? Like, they were tough. Today, oh my gosh, how that thing has swung. Today, penances are light, right? Almost too light. In fact, no matter what you do, it seems like you get 3 Hail Marys. Oh, you robbed 3 banks? 3 Hail Marys, please. No matter what, you get 3 Hail Marys. However, somewhere virtue's in the mean, you know? If you go to confession and the priest gives you a penance that's very, very light, fine, do your penance and it's over. But then, understand the point of the penance. It's to start moving you in the right direction. When you come out of the confession, you're still inclined to commit that sin. The sin is gone, the guilt is gone, you have been forgiven, but you're still in the habit of lying or taking the Lord's name in vain or impurity or drinking too much or whatever the case may be. You're still kind of inclined to do that, and now you got to get to work. The penance is designed to help you in that regard. So if the priest gives you 3 Hail Marys, you can work on it yourself, okay? Think to yourself, for example, all right, I have tarnished someone's reputation through gossip. What can I do to start tearing that habit out and replacing it with something good? How about I first go to the three people I talked to, and I simply apologize to them for speaking inappropriately? Okay. That's kind of humbling. That'll make you think twice next time. Then, tomorrow, on my way home from work, I'm going to stop by the church, and I'm going to pray for 10 minutes for the person whose reputation I hurt. I'm just going to pray for them and cultivate love for them. Boom! Okay, now we're moving. And also, I've been in a bad habit of this. From now on, I'm not going to gossip anymore. When I speak, it's going to be to build up, to inspire, to encourage. If you tack those efforts onto your gossiping, of apologizing to people, praying for those you hurt, and making a firm resolve, guys, you're not going to be in the same place 6 months from now. This sacrament is going to help you move. When the penance comes, do the penance. It's your homework assignment. If it's too light, add something in yourself. You're a Christian and can do that. Lastly, the last thing that's going to happen is the main event. It's the words of absolution. This is the very moment of forgiveness. This is the very moment where the Son goes, okay, I'm ready to come back, and the Father runs out to meet him, throws a royal robe around his shoulders, sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, and says, instruments, maestro, strike up the instruments. Slaughter the fatted calf. My Son is back. He was dead, is now alive. He was lost, has now been found. That's this moment. The words of absolution. It should feel good. Your soul is being cleansed on the spot. People walk out and they say, like, I feel like I lost 5 pounds. That's good. That weight is real, all right? That's the moment, the actual moment of forgiveness. Let that sink in and walk out a new person, resolved to be Christ-like afterwards. When you make a great confession, you move. When you're in the habit of identifying sins clearly, the reasons behind them, how attached I am to them, I bring them to the priest, I listen closely, I hear what he has to say, I do my penance to work on this, and I receive that blessed forgiveness from God. Guys, why would you not do that? Why would you not take advantage of that? A good rule of thumb for a Catholic who's trying to grow in holiness, a good rule of thumb is to go to confession at least once a month. That's a good standard to go by. You go as often as you need. However, if you're looking for a rule of thumb, once a month as a Catholic. That's going to keep you moving forward. That's going to keep the practice going, keep developing the habit, and keep chipping away at these sins. The lizard does not belong. It needs to go. The sacrament of confession can help tremendously to tear it off so that you, one by one, can remove these obstacles, one by one, goodbye, 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 so that you are left with a pure and undivided love for Jesus Christ. God bless you.